Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32.
All right.
Look at this new Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. When he entered the temple, the chief priest and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. And the father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." This is the word of the Lord. Good morning, brothers and sisters. We give God glory and honor to be in this space at this time to worship with you on this worldwide communion. We are grateful to your pastor, Patrick Dennis, extending an invitation to us, the Trinity Canadian family, to worship with you on this day. Now, I read the bulletin that we have here. It's considered a communion meditation. So when I read communion meditation, it suggests to me a homily, a short message. So you will not get the usual, but it's just a delight to be here. But I spoke to my good friend, my brother Mark, and ask him, would he accompany me? So I'm going to use one of my minutes in singing this song. Is it okay? Oh, yeah. Huh? Lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, can I stray? Lord, help me walk each day with thee. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me. Once again, lead me, my guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, oh Lord, lead me. Listen to this. I am weak and I need thy strength and power to help me over my weakness. I'll let me through the darkness, thy face to see. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. Huh? Yes. Lead me well. Yeah. Well. My mind. No, if you lead me, I cannot stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. Amen and amen. You have just personified our theme. We're all in this together. From the musician, the children, the adults, Tuckahoe and Trinity Gunnadian Presbyterian Churches. I witness you joining with me. Some didn't sing loud, but your lips sing. It's something simple, yet profound. I will just holler, I've got to calm down because I have this homily. It's like going into basic training. The overall goal of the training instructor is to make certain that every trainee realizes that he or she is in this thing together. And even though they exercise, do calisthenics, they learn the military code of justice, even though they learn how to fold their clothing and put it properly in the drawer, even though they wear the same uniform on a daily basis, does not necessarily indicate that they have a mindset of being in the basic training together. Through the experiences of that time period, they will learn more of each other and about one another. During their experiences in basic training, they will learn more of the expectations of them as soldiers in the military. But until they come together with one mindset that we're in this thing together, it doesn't matter who is the strongest or who's the weakest, we're in this together. And it doesn't matter whether you're from the north or the south, we're in this together. And it doesn't matter whether you're from Chicago or Richmond, Virginia, we're in this together. And once we develop this mindset, when we are engaged in warfare, we have learned through life experiences, through basic training, that I must cover my brother and my sister's back because we are in this together. And sometimes it takes one experience to awaken the soldiers that even though they are in basic camp, they are in basic training, this one particular experience will ignite something within their heart and illumine their mind that they are all one, functioning to serve the country, this nation, the United States of America. And so I discovered that when we realize that it doesn't matter what we're doing and where we are, we must have one mindset, knowing that God is with us. In basic training, there's the training instructor. In our Old Testament lesson, God delivered the children of Israel with a mighty, mighty hand. And when they crossed the Red Sea, they were so ecstatic about this great deliverance that they played music and they sang hymns and they beat the tambourines, giving God praise for the great victory that only God could have done. But as they journeyed towards that land that was promised to them, as they journeyed towards their destination, they became a little weary and they became a little concerned, and they cried out to Moses, we don't have anything to drink, and this water, we could have stayed back there in Egypt. So we must realize that God was with them when they beat the tamarind, sang their praises and the hymn. God was with them when they were in an ecstasy, giving God glory and adoration. And the same God who was with them as they praise God is the God who's with them when they are thirsty. And so here Moses just threw something in the water, and that water, which was bitter, became sweet, and they drank. Another experience to realize that God continues to be with them. And they journeyed on a little further, and then began to complain once again. There isn't anything to eat. We're hungry. And God, in God's infinite wisdom, allowed manna, they call it. What is it? They didn't know what it was, but God fed them when they cried out that they were hungry. And the same resounding song, you could have left us back there in Egypt, because we know we had three meals per day, and we know how we would have been treated. But you have us out here on a journey that we really don't know our destination. And so they cried to Moses that we don't have anything to eat, and God once again fed them, teaching them, testing them, that I am with you. I will always be with you. And isn't that been for us throughout our lives? We've had tests day after day, week after week, year after year, and God has proven that God will continue to be with us and on our side. But sometimes we're like the Israelites. We forget about what God has done, and we forget the impact God has on our lives, and we began to murmur and complain. Lord, I wish that I had a bigger salary, a larger house. Lord, I wish I had received more income that I would enable my children to further their education. Lord, I wish that the church would do more than what it is doing today. Lord, I pray that the church would go further into the community and perform ministry to the disadvantaged, realizing that God has blessed you, and God will continue to bless you. And so here in our text this morning, they began to murmur and complain, not learning from life experiences, not gleaning from what God has done in the past. And they said, we're thirsty once again. Where can we get something to drink? And we have to be careful sometimes when we complain against the leadership. Moses, if you read Exodus 15, 16th, and 17th chapter, be careful when you fight against the pastor. He didn't tell me to say this, but you have to be careful when you fight against the pastor, because sometimes you may fight it against God. You have to be careful when you're on session and you create this divisiveness. You have to be very, very sensitive, because sometimes you may fight against God. And so Moses appealed to God and said, what shall I do with these people? Because they're complaining once again. Don't be too alarmed, Moses. I just want you to go there and strike the rock, and they will receive water. And so Moses followed the instruction. And water came forth, and they were ecstatic. They were elated that they had something to drink for their thirst. But the lesson in this is that God was with them. Where is God? Doesn't God care about us any longer? Is God with us or not? And the reality, God was with them all the time. God has been with you as a congregation all these years. When you stand there and look at the little children, you know God is with you. When you look at the young adults and how productive they are in the community, the neighborhood, and even within the church, God continues to give indication that I am with you. And when you glean across the breadth of this audience and witness those who are in the winter season of life, and God has blessed them with wisdom to impart to those who have ears to hear, you can declare that God has been with you. And so the lesson that they must learn, that they must come together saying that we are in this together, we're on this journey together. So Jesus began to teach those persons who thought that they had it all, they knew it all, asking him all kinds of questions about his authority. Who gave him the power to heal and deliver? Who gave him that privilege to to teach and instruct concerning the kingdom of God. And he simply asked a question. If you had two sons, and you asked the first one to go out and work in a vineyard, he said no immediately. But in retrospect, he went out there and began to work in the vineyard. But the second said, I would, and never did go. And I don't know who's doing it, but the reality is some of you, God has given something to do here at Tuckahoe, as he's done at Trinity, and you say you would do it and you haven't done anything. You promise that you will allow your gift to be used to the glory of God, but you're too busy. You have other responsibilities, and you haven't done anything. But there are some who have been reluctant to serve, and in retrospect, they made a decision to give of themselves, that the kingdom of God may be enhanced. And those are the ones that Jesus alluded to in this text. I got a little upset when he said that those persons who are harlots, those persons who are prostitutes, they will get in before those who are members of the kingdom of God. I got a little upset about that because, you know, we've been working hard and you've been working diligently. But that's not the lesson. The lesson is that those who say yes and perhaps later on will provide service rather than those who say yes and don't do it. See, it's better not to make a vow and break it than to make a vow, not to make a vow. And so here, my beloved brothers and sisters, on this communion Sunday, we are to break bread and to drink this cup, realizing that there are other brothers and sisters in other parts of the world who are doing the same. But we must have that same mindset as the soldiers in basic training to fulfill the purpose of being made ready to participate in military duty. We must do the same as the children of Israel, learn from life experiences along this journey that God has not forsaken us, that God continues to be with us. And we must glean from this lesson that Jesus shared with us that there are individuals who know that God has called you to be of service in the kingdom, but for some apparent reason or reasons, you're not doing so. So on this day, when we partake of this meal, this Eucharist, we have an opportunity to confess our sins, huh? Ask God to forgive us, huh? This is opportunity as we break this bread and drink of this cup that we ask God to forgive us our shortcomings and the mistakes we've made. And if we need some strength when we partake of that bread, Christ's body represents the bread, we receive the strength that we need to make it, not just another day, but throughout the week. Because the bottom line is that we're in this together. We're in this as followers of the Christ. There are so many issues that are plaguing our community and our nation, and the church cannot afford the luxury of being silent. We must lift up our voices as trumpets of justice and fairness for all of creation. We must be willing to make ourselves available to be used by God, that we may have an impact upon our community. And so the reality is that these statues, and I'm not trying to start anything, but these statues have become a great issue. Where are we as a church? There are some who say that it's a reminder of history. And then there are others who say that it is a reminder of enslavement. But we who are followers of Jesus Christ must understand that it's the mindset of being transformed, renewed by the power of God's word and transformed, that we can come together and live together for the betterment of humanity, be it for historical reasons a reflection of enslavement? How can we sit at the table of brotherhood and sisterhood and make sense out of this dilemma? But when the church is silent, oh my God, who else will become vocal? We cannot afford the luxury not to side with one or the other, but sit at the table and reason with one another as we break this bread and as we share this wine. My beloved brothers and sisters, it's a blessing to be here with you, because I receive joy out of fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters. But I'm learning. I'm not an old man. But I'm learning that when you develop the mindset of Christ, then you meet people where they are and engage in authentic and transparent dialogue. And how can we make sense out of this? Not leaning to our own understanding, but trusting that God will direct our thoughts and direct our action. For we are not to conduct ourselves as the world or as the culture, but we are to be Christ-like. And that's why this song is so meaningful. Lead me, guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I would not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, guide me along the way. God, we thank you again for this time of sharing. And as we grow together, learn with one another through the power of your Holy Spirit, may we understand that as followers of the Christ, we are all one in you and through you. The mind that you have, may we embrace and envelop that same mind. Amen and amen.